Bible are, close to Psalms, but turn to Isaiah 53 with me, please. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that Susie and I had the privilege of attending a conference called Soul Care about 3 weeks ago. And the speaker, Rob Reimer, who actually wrote a book by the same title, Rob shared something very interesting at the very beginning. He started with this. He said, many people in our culture today, in our world, have trouble connecting with the idea that I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Now, that's true biblically. Clearly, it's true. His point was that that statement is so theologically loaded that often we have to unpack that. It takes a while to unpack that with people. And that sometimes people have trouble connecting with that terminology. His contention is that people that you and I know who need Jesus, that they are more likely to connect with brokenness. The fact that we are each broken. Whether we're followers of Jesus or not, there's a level of brokenness in every one of our lives. If we are honest about it, we know that we are broken. In some ways, we're broken emotionally. We have emotional needs. We have needs deep down in our soul. Some of us are broken physically. Maybe even this morning, you're going through something in terms of your physical body that you're dealing with, struggling with. Some are broken spiritually. But in either case, we're all there. And Rob believes, and it really struck Susie and I at this conference, Rob believes that lost people that you and I know are much more likely to identify with this statement, I am broken and I need healing. I am broken and I need healing. And here's the amazing truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you and I have experienced healing. We've experienced that. We know the healer even more than experiencing it. We know him in a personal way. And he is still healing me. I don't know about you. I hope he is. That he's still healing you. And you see, if we can get close enough to people, I mean real heart-to-heart relationships, if we can get close enough to people who are broken, we can tell them about the healer. We have a chance to tell them there's one that we know personally who heals broken bodies, broken souls, broken spirits, and he can heal them too. The message of healing goes back to Exodus 15. At least that's one of the main scriptural texts. If you remember, God's people had just been rescued out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They're now in the desert. And they've been 3 days without water in the desert in Exodus 15. They're obviously very thirsty. They come to a place called Marah. And they find water, but guess what? It's bitter. It's undrinkable. Was it potable? Is that the word? Potable? You can't drink it. It's stinky, or I don't know if it was polluted or whatever, but it was undrinkable. Moses cries out to God, and what does God do? He touches that water. He makes it, the King James, some of these other versions say it became sweet. It became drinkable. And then God said this. God said to his people Israel, if you will listen and obey my commands, then you will not suffer the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. Those are the plagues, the 10 plagues. Then God said this, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. He healed back then, and guess what? He's still healing today. Amen. He has power to heal. Let's stand as we read Isaiah 53. I want to read the first 7 verses of Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. By the way, this is referring to Jesus. I want to make sure we understand. The prophet Isaiah is talking about Messiah who is to come. And he goes on and says this. He, Jesus, had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance, physical appearance, that we should desire him. And if you go back and read the last part of chapter 52, you'll understand why. The prophet is very graphic. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. Jesus was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. Jesus was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he, Jesus, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. You can put your own personal pronoun in there. You can say he was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. There's the phrase we want to really zero in on today. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Notice that. And like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Lord, we ask you to speak this morning because we need healing. We are broken people who need your healing. And I pray that we would understand that this morning, and that we would rejoice in the fact that we know the healer. We have come into the presence of the healer this morning. And it's by those wounds, by those stripes that you suffered before and on the cross that we are healed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Where did brokenness start? Brokenness started with the very first two people. Adam and Eve started it all. And then brokenness began with the first act of rebellion. What happened? What brokenness took place? That perfect relationship they had had with God was suddenly broken. They were put out of the garden. And not only was their relationship with God broken, but what also happened? Their relationship with other people was broken. Conflict came in. We've been talking about conflict for 4 weeks until this Sunday. Where did that all start? It started in the garden. And you can't even get back past Genesis 4. What do you have? The first murder. Cain had a conflict with his brother, and he killed his brother. Talk about sin. Talk about brokenness. And so after only a few generations, the brokenness and sin was so widespread. Listen to Genesis 6:5. The Bible says, every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. Is that bad? It can't get any worse than that. Only evil, all the time. Brokenness. But God found a man. His name was Noah. And the word says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 10 generations later, God found another man named Abram. And God told Abram that he was to leave his country and go to a land God would show him. God told Abram in Genesis 12 that I am going to increase your descendants as much as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Took a while. Abraham was 100 years old when God finally allowed them to have Isaac, the miracle child. And you know, through those years that Abraham walked with God, his faith was tested, but never tested like Genesis 22. Remember the story? Isaac is a young man now, and God told him to sacrifice his one and only son. And this was the one that was to fulfill the promises. This was the one that was going to lead to all these thousands of descendants. Abraham obeyed the Lord. I just, every time I read it, I can't believe he did it. I can't believe he actually said, God, you told me to do it. I'm going to go to Mount Moriah. So they took this trip, and he's just about to take his son's life. And what did God do? God stopped him. Mid-air almost, God stopped him. And before that, as they're on their way up the mountain, here's what Abraham said to his son. Genesis 22:8, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself, think about that. There on that mountain, God did provide in the 13th verse. But the statement that Abraham made before they ever got there, to me, is one of the most amazing and prophetic words in the Bible. Why do I say that? Because Abraham's statement is breathtaking when you look at Isaiah 53. When you look at what the prophet says here, 700 years before Jesus was born, a lamb. Do you notice what we read in verse 7? In verse 7, we just read it. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And that lamb in the text, of course, is the Messiah to come, our Lord Jesus. The prophet described our Lord, verse 3, as despised. Think about this. We think of Jesus. How could anybody despise him? He loved everybody. There was nobody that he didn't love. But he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. Jesus was a man familiar with suffering. And then we come over to the New Testament. Paul said exactly the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for me and you, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That verse makes it clear. He didn't just take the sins of all the people out there. He took my sin. He took our sin on himself. He loved us so much. We sang about that earlier. We read about it in the Word. God's love for you. God's love for me. He loved us so much that he became sin. I can't even fathom that. The only pure, sinless one who ever lived on this earth, he became sin for us. And he not only lost his life physically on that cross, but he was separated for the first time in all eternity from his Father. There, he lost that relationship, that loving eternal fellowship. And so what is Isaiah saying here in this chapter? We just read those few verses. Isaiah is saying that Jesus, the coming Messiah, would provide spiritual healing for my brokenness and yours. Spiritual healing. The deep spiritual wounds of sin that you and I have. You know, sin in the human heart produces a sickness. Did you know that? There's literally a sickness that is created because of our sin. But it's more than a sickness. In Ephesians 2:1, it's interesting. Paul goes beyond just, well, you're sick spiritually. One step before Christ came into our lives, here's what the Word says. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You weren't just sick. I wasn't just sick. We were dead. I had a stick of lip balm in my office this week, and I took it home. I looked for it this morning. I wanted to bring it up. Everybody knows what lip balm is, right? Little tube, and I don't use it very often, but it's an ointment. It has healing properties. And that word balm, B-A-L-M, is in an old hymn, and I just thought of it this week. The words go like this. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. My soul is sin-sick. Yours is sin-sick until Jesus comes and brings healing. And it's interesting, the words of that old song really go back to Jeremiah 8:22. And here's what the prophet cried out to God. The prophet asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Praise God, there is. Amen? There is a physician. There is healing. Because you see, sin produces spiritual brokenness. It produces separation between us and God. It's like there's a wall there between us and heaven because of our sin. But he came, he died, he rose again to give a cure for sin, the sin problem. Yes, there's a physician in Gilead. The great physician is with us this morning, and he provides spiritual healing for you and me. He provides healing for that brokenness of our spirit because of sin. So we came to the table this morning. We took the bread and the cup. What is that signifying? The ultimate price that Jesus paid, so that you and I can trust him. And when you and I trust him to forgive us, when we trust him, we have our sins forgiven, we are healed, we are made holy, and we have eternal life. Have you trusted him? Have you trusted Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive your sin? Because if you haven't, you can right now. You know how simple this decision is? This decision is so simple. An 8-year-old here at Glenview made that decision for Jesus 3 weeks ago. And an 8-year-old made that decision and trusted Jesus 55 years ago. That was me. It's a simple decision. You don't need to be a brain surgeon. You don't need to have a theological degree. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need you. I want to trust you. Let me pray for you right now. Can we just bow? Lord, I want to pray for that one who's here who needs healing in their spirit, Lord. They are spiritually sick because they've never trusted you. And I pray that right now they would realize, just like that little 8-year-old boy did, that you love them so much that you died for them. You paid the price.
I pray that before this service is over, they would trust you. They would say, Jesus, I trust you to forgive me. I trust you to be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for doing that eternal work in someone's life here today. Thank you, Lord. Now, again, let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. Let's consider it. Prophesying about Jesus' death on Calvary, what did the prophet say? The prophet said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are what? We are healed by his wounds. It's an amazing statement. What do we need to be healed from? We've just said it, haven't we? The first thing is we need to be healed from spiritual brokenness because of our sin. That's number one. If that healing doesn't take place, everything else really doesn't matter. That's absolute priority. We suffer from sin sickness, and we need healing from that. But that's not all. There are two other parts of our very personality, our being that God has given us. And notice in verse 4, it says he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Now, what are infirmities and sorrows? In the Hebrew, in the original language, those words communicate we need healing from physical brokenness. And some of you are experiencing that. Maybe you have a surgery coming up. You're getting over something. We need healing from that. But sorrow, what's that? Sorrow in Isaiah 53, verse 4, is talking about emotional brokenness. Many are broken emotionally. And I connect that more with the soul, the term soul in Scripture. We're broken at that point. And a wonderful thing is that Jesus, in his suffering and death, didn't only provide for our spiritual healing. He provided for the healing of our soul, of our emotions and our mind. He provided for physical healing for you and me. So let's start with physical. Do we need physical healing? Anybody here need physical healing today? We had an elders retreat this weekend, and every single family, I think, every single family around that circle had colds, severe colds. I won't ask for raising of hands because I'm pretty sure every hand will go up. But there were several with small children, and well, they've just been going around. Everybody's been sharing it, giving it to this person. They get well, they give it to somebody else. Every family was touched by it. Yes. From the beginning of time, we need healing from physical issues. You know, aches and pains, physical diseases. If you know Todd, he got that injection. What is it called? Epidural on Friday. And he has a real severe, what's it called? Fibromyalgia. And he's turning cartwheels out there in the lobby this morning. I mean, he really got some relief from the pain. He's a happy man this morning. And thank the Lord for just something simple. You get that injection, some of you have had it, and it gives you at least temporary relief. It's not going to last for years and years, but he's just thankful. We have all kinds of things. You ever hear of superbugs? Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, better known as MRSA. That's right. All the nurses know what MRSA is. And unfortunately, a lot of people pick it up in the hospital. You know, that's where these viruses and stuff that, you know, are really hard to heal. Our physical bodies are broken. That's the bottom line. And we need healing. But thank God, in this part of the world at least, think of what the advantage we have over, you go to Burkina Faso and you need medical attention, it's a lot tougher to find it. Here, we have doctors and nurses and all kinds of medical facilities. And remember, we need to give God the glory, because ultimately, where does healing come from? It comes from him. A doctor may bring it, but that healing comes from God. It's a gift. It is a gift from him, because our bodies were made by him. I believe all healing comes from our dear Lord. And that's what he told Israel, didn't he? He said in Exodus 15, I am the Lord who heals you. David, it's interesting, in Psalm 103, David combined physical and spiritual brokenness. Here's what David wrote. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, there's spiritual healing, and heals all your diseases. That's physical healing or physical brokenness. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? Matthew 9 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, preaching the good news of the kingdom for spiritual healing, but also healing every disease and sickness for physical need.
And that's why James gave us this wonderful formula in James 5. And we'll come back to this in just a moment. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. When Isaiah prophesied, by his wounds were healed. He's talking about Jesus coming. And when he came, he had a healing ministry. But here's the good news. He's still doing it today. He's still healing people today. And if we allowed, many of you could stand right here this morning and say, I have been touched by the healing power of Jesus. In my physical body, he has touched me. He has healed me. But we have one more area to cover on brokenness. There's another area of brokenness. It's what we might call mental and emotional brokenness. And what's interesting to me, it's occurred to me in the last few years, it's very widespread. There are many people that are dealing with emotional issues, mental brokenness. And this is really the issue of the soul again. This is right down what I believe the Word talks about, our soul, our heart. It's talking about this emotional, this mental part of us. But even though the needs are widespread, have you noticed how people don't like to talk about emotional needs? It's like that hush-hush thing. We can talk about our physical needs all day long. I'm going for surgery. I'm going to see a chiropractor because my back's bothering me. You know, we can talk about physical needs, but as soon as you mention an emotional needs, oh, don't talk about that. The wonderful thing is Jesus can heal that too. He's the healer of souls. He's the healer of our minds and our emotions. I think one of the words in Scripture that talks about this emotional part of us is brokenhearted. Often in Scripture, listen to these two verses. Look at them on the screen. In Psalm 147, it says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He can heal that part of us. In fact, when Jesus came and began his public ministry in Luke 4, he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, and he opened the scroll to Isaiah 61. Now, it wasn't numbered in those days, but it's the passage we know as Isaiah 61. And Jesus read this. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, the Holy Spirit, because the Lord has anointed me, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Emotional needs, mental needs. He can bind those up. And you know the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Is that true? That is a bunch of, you know what? It's a bunch of baloney. It's not true. What people say to us can wound us deeply. And it begins when we're little kids. Some of you can remember something that a teacher said, or maybe, you know, mom and dad said, or whatever. And it wounded us, and we've never forgotten that. Here we are, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, and we've never forgotten that. We can be deeply wounded. And those wounds can be some mean thing someone said. We can be wounded in our soul by a sarcastic remark someone makes. The other part of it is we can inflict wounds on ourselves because we believe lies. We believe lies. Let me give you a couple of the lies we sometimes believe. My worth is based on my performance. My worth is and value is based on how good I do at my job and all these other responsibilities. If I perform well, I'm good. If I don't perform well, my value goes down. How about this one? My value is measured by how many people like me. We can measure ourselves that way. And then we begin to compare. And I've done this a million times. It's like an Olympic sport for me. Comparing to other people. And when we compare ourselves with others, and we're all different. We've all been gifted differently. We've all been given different strengths. So if I'm trying to be like somebody else, what happens? I always come up short every single time. I feel inadequate. I feel inferior. And what happens? Our souls become wounded. Our souls become broken. We need to be healed. And who is the healer? His name is Jesus. He can heal the wounded soul. I love this little course by John Michael Talbot years ago. And I remembered I went on YouTube or whatever and found it and listened to it again. Just a short little chorus. He's saying, "Healer of my soul, heal me at even, heal me at morning, heal me at noon. Healer of my soul." He's the only one that can do it. We can go to counselors and psychiatrists and all the rest. We can take medication, but the only one that can heal the soul is Jesus. So 7 centuries before our Savior was born, back to our text, Isaiah wrote these words about the suffering and death of Jesus. He said, "And by his wounds we're healed. There's three areas, major areas of brokenness that you may have all three. Hopefully you don't. You may have one or two. But is there a spiritual brokenness in your life? Is there a disconnect between you and God? He wants to bring you healing. Maybe there's an emotional brokenness. I don't know, you know, where you are on that scale, but maybe there's something in your soul that needs to be healed. He's the healer. Maybe it's physical. For you, it's a physical need. But we would consider it a privilege to pray with you this morning. And we're going to close our service with a time of prayer for healing in whatever area you need to be healed. Turn to James 5, and let's read that passage again. James chapter 5. Notice what James wrote here, in, beginning at verse 13. Is there any one of you in trouble he should pray? Is anyone happy? I hope a few people are happy here this morning. Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And notice, the Lord will raise him up. Why? Because he's the healer. He's the healer. It doesn't matter if you have a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need. He's the healer. And we would just love to come alongside you this morning and pray with you and trust God to bring healing to your life. It says in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and this is a song written by the founder of our denomination, A.B. Simpson. The words are really old, but we're going to sing it to the tune of the song we sang earlier, Lamb of God. And so the tune, you already have the tune in your mind. You may not know the words, but this great old hymn goes back to exactly what we said in Exodus 15. The Mara, the water was bitter, and God healed it, didn't he? And he made it drinkable. God can take our broken lives, and he can heal them, and he wants to heal them. Please sing with me, and we'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to express a physical need, a mental need, emotional need, a spiritual need. Let's sing together.
There is a healing branch that grows where every bitter Mara flows. This is our health-renewing tree. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There is an old appointed way for those who hearken and obey. Above the gate these words we see. I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Before we sing that last verse, could those who are going to help to pray, would you please come forward at this time? Carrie, could you join us, please? Thank you. Gentlemen, if you would come, I'd appreciate that. And we're going to sing this last verse standing in just a moment. And then if you would like to have prayer, as everyone is dismissed, I'm just going to invite you to stay where you are. Just be seated right where you are. And as we've done before, we will come to you and pray with you and trust God, the healer, to meet your need. Okay? Let's stand together as we sing this last verse.
There is an ordinance that has stood since Israel crossed the parted flood. It stands today for you and me. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There is a great physician still, whose hand has all its ancient skill. At his command our pains will flee. I am the Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much That one word from you is all that's needed. I think of that centurion. And you are going to go to his home and heal his daughter. And he said, Lord, you don't even need to come to my home. You just say the word. And I know she'll be healed. Lord Jesus, we want to trust you this morning to say the word. That your power will be released. Whether there are physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. You're the healer. You're the one we're trusting. And we thank you for what you are going to do. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be dismissed quietly. And if you would like to have prayer, stay right where you are and we'll come around.